We thank you, Jesus, that you are the one who has made us whole. You are the one who has given us a future and a hope. And Lord God, we pray, Holy Spirit, we pray that you stir some things in our hearts today, that Lord, our eyes, spiritual eyes, would be open to see the reality, the practical reality, Lord, of that which you do both in our lives, but Lord, in the periphery of our lives, in the world that you have positioned us in. And Lord God, the unique things, Father God, that you have chosen to bring about as we put our trust and our confidence in you. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start off a little different from what I planned. Tell me, who here, when you were growing up in your school years, you found you were just the one that seemed to be the loser in your class? You don't have to put up your hand, but I know for me, growing up, it was a pretty tough experience going to school. I remember absolutely dreading going to school. I just got heaps. I used to be called Shandy. And no surprises there. And I remembered having my school bag thrown into the girls' toilets and thinking, how am I going to sort out this problem? I remember having my lunch taken off me. I remember every lunchtime, dreading lunchtime, and I'd be sometimes walking around on my own because, you know, it was just a pretty tough time going to school. And you might say, well, no, you poor thing. They might say, oh. But, you know, those things that happen to you when you're growing up in your school years, they can have an incredibly big impact on your life in the years to follow. It can then translate into the workplace. It can translate into your social world. It can translate even into church life and all the things that you may feel to be doing and living for God. It can certainly take a toll on your confidence and on your ability to stand up in the things that you feel God has positioned and called you to do. That even though it may be decades later, still the experiences that you had when you were growing up or in your neighborhood or in your home environment, they can still be carried in your spirit and can still affect you today. And if we don't break through those things that can make such an incredible impact upon our confidence, they will limit us and they will hold us back in that which we have a sense to be doing in life generally and that which God has positioned us to do in life. But something I've discovered is that God has used the most unlikely people, the people who have lacked confidence the most, in the most significant ways in positioning in life and in his kingdom's purpose. Just think about Gideon. Here's poor Gideon. All the armies are coming out, you know, stealing all their food and their crops. And here he is hiding. I don't know whether there's any kind of, what do we call it? This little thing where they used to crush the grapes, wine press. And he's hiding. He's hiding. And all the armies are coming out. You know, they're coming out. And he's hiding. And here's his voice. The Lord is with you. You mighty man of valor. No one else down here. Only me. Must be talking to my brother or somebody. Here's a voice. The Lord is with you. You mighty man of valor. I think I'm the only one down here. I can't see anyone else. You must be talking to me. Oh. And then God begins to speak to him and he, you know, they talk about putting out a fleece, you know, look, if I put it out at night and if the ground's wet and it's dry, well, look, you know, then I know you're speaking to me. Then he's still not convinced. Tomorrow I'm going to do the opposite. If this is wet and the ground's dry, then I know you're speaking to me. And it happened both times. And God somehow had to get his attention and to bring him to a place that he actually believed that God would be with him as he promised and that he was a mighty man of valor. Or we could be a mighty woman of valor based on not him, but based on the greatness of his God. And even when he went to gather all the armies together, You know, he's got thousands and thousands of people begin to join him. God says, oh, no, too many. Get rid of some of them. And then he gets rid of more until he's left with just 300 soldiers against a massive army of probably tens of thousands. And God brings an incredible victory because God wanted to say, it was me, my strength, my power that is made perfect in our weakness. And if you think you're a bit weak or you think somehow you had challenging seasons growing up in your childhood, you are a perfect candidate to experience the confidence of God being released in and through your life. You're a perfect candidate. Don't let the devil, don't let yourself, don't let the voices that you hear in your head rob you of your God-given destiny. Let's say, in this I will be confident. In this I will be confident. Let's say one more time. In this I will be confident. Let that just be a declaration from your spirit that resonates in your heart. That's why the psalmist was writing it. Actually, King David, you could put this first slide up. In this I will be confident. A real sense of God's confidence in your spirit, that it will just rise up in your heart, believing for God no matter what challenges you are facing right now. Let's just believe it. Let's believe that God's just going to release that in your heart for everything he has intended for your life and your future. You may be seated. Yeah. So, in this I will be confident. By the way, we started this series 2 weeks ago, and we've uploaded the video, the audio. If you're able to do that, we're re-uploading it again today so you can access the audio from 2 weeks ago. And I just pray it will be a great encouragement to you. So, this has come from Psalm 27, which says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength." By the way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens and empowers me. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Just quickly, the first part of that. When it says God is our light, what is that saying? It's saying that God is going to illuminate the pathway before us. That means you don't know the way that you are going. You can't see what's before you. You can't navigate the journey, but God is going to shine his light before you so that you will be able to make the right decisions to get to the destination he's intended for you in your life. Is that okay? When it says he is my salvation, what does that mean? Does that mean I've got eternal life and I'm going to heaven? Well, kind of yes, but I don't think in this context that's what it is talking about. Because in the next verse, he's talking about facing a battle. He's saying, God is going to be the one that is going to get me through this battle, this current circumstance I'm facing. That's what it means by salvation. God is the one that will get him through. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I do not need to be afraid. And it was just so great to have had the word from last week, Pastor Andrew, talking about overcoming just anxiety and worry in our lives. It goes on in verse 3 to say this, "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." I don't know about you, but I've got this next slide. And if we could put it up, it's a picture of Braveheart. Does anyone ever remember, anyone ever watch the movie Braveheart? Now, when I think about a battle, here's King David standing on the hill. Tens of thousands of soldiers are there thinking, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to get blue paint and put it over my face. I'm going to put, I don't know what kind of color dye it is in his hair. He's going to have his sword waving up. And all the soldiers go, yeah, we're going to go for it. We're going to win. This is kind of what the picture that comes into my mind when I'm thinking, in this I will be confident. But it's the wrong picture that we've got in our mind. Because this here is a picture of self-confidence. But if we're going to progress in the things that God has for us, we should not be looking for self-confidence, but be looking for God confidence. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yes. Not self-confidence, but God God confidence. Now, there's nothing wrong with self-confidence in the sense of, you know, we often teach our children, be confident, you know, as you're meeting people and greeting people, and we talk about, you know, just general life skills. And being confident in life generally is brilliant. It's great. But self-confidence will only take us so far because we are limited to what we possess of ourselves and what we think we can personally do. Self-confidence can only go so far. The Bible speaks about our heart being deceitful above all things. Who knows that we can often lose perspective in life and circumstances? Who knows it's true? We can lose perspective really easily. We also know that our flesh is weak. We can be up one day and we can be down the next. Who knows that's true? Sometimes we can be up and down in the same hour. One moment, yeah, we're going for it. And then we get a phone call. Oh, no, it's all over. You ever felt like that? Or is it just me? Sometimes I'll get a phone call and all of a sudden I'm depressed. I'm thinking, oh, no, you know, everything's looking bad. But then you might get another phone call. Oh, man, we're good to go. Yay, it's awesome. And sometimes that happens in life. We go up and down. And if we're basing our confidence on ourselves, we may find that we are going to be like a yo-yo. It goes down, it goes up, it goes down, and it goes up. But God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. There is no shadow of turning with Him. In other words, He's not turning around from side to side and thinking, where is God today? Is He happy? Is He angry? What's going on with God? Is He all-powerful one day and not so good the next? God is unchangeable, and He has the power to work in our lives, in our circumstances. This is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, on the subject of confidence. He says, don't be so naive, this is in the Message paraphrases, don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. How do you like that? We can. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Who likes that? Cultivate God confidence. We need to build a sense of confidence in God. Does that mean we don't sort of think about our appearance and the way we bring? Of course we do all of those things. But self will only take us so far. God confidence will help bring us to a place where we can fulfill every plan under heaven that He has for our life and our future and our destiny. And we all battle with insecurity. We all have our challenges. And this is what Paul said regarding the issue of confidence. He says, and I have, this is Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, says, and I have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul, he was one of the, you know, people that was high up in the Jewish hierarchy. He'd memorized the scriptures. He'd gone through the Jewish schools. He was one of the people right up the top echelons of Jewish society. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Yet, he of all people who would have been entitled to say he has confidence in himself and in his flesh, he found his confidence in God. He chose to place his confidence in Him alone. So there are three reasons why I'm just going to bring today. There's hundreds of reasons why we can have confidence for our future. But I'm going to be talking about three today. And here's the first one. I am confident because God is for me. Let's all just say that. God is for me. God is for me. Do you believe it's true? Because I'm convinced that many times we step out in life, and I touched on this a couple of weeks ago, I'm convinced sometimes we step out, maybe for the job interview, maybe we're doing an exam at school. I've done a lot of exams at school. I hate them, but I did my share. Maybe we are stepping out into some new step forward in life, and we're thinking, I wonder if God's with me. I wonder if God's for me. I wonder if God wants to teach me a lesson and get on my case and give me a little bit of grief right now. I wonder if God is for me. This is what this next scripture says. This is the second half of the verse. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's if, it's really implying the answer that yes, God is for us. This is what it says in the first part of Romans, just a few verses preceding it. And it says, and we, in verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. If you love God, you become a candidate for everything working together for good. So sometimes we're thinking, well, no, it's not going to work out good because, you know, I don't know why. But if you have a heart that is centered on loving God and following Him, it says all things work out together for good if you're called according to His purpose. In fact, it goes on to say that we have been predestined. That means that God has thought about you before you were born. It says that we have been called, we have been justified, in other words, made right with God. And these, it says also, He is glorified. So what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who believes that God wants the best for your life? You're sort of only half convinced about that. Who believes God definitely wants the best for your life? If we're convinced about that, that will change our perception. You know, in my early years of pastoring, I was 26 years of age, senior pastor. Who knows, that's a challenge. You're trying to learn the ropes really quickly. What am I supposed to do? I think I made a lot of very dumb decisions, but somehow by God's grace, we got through. And we got through those early years and we're still around today. So we're just so thankful to God for that. But you know, in the early days of ministry and trying to please God, there can be a sense in which, very much like with natural parents or those people that have raised us, we seek for people's approval. And I remember for my dad, you know, he hoped that I would go to work, and I studied electronics, and one day he was thinking, one day I'll be able to fix his TV. Isn't that a pretty sad ambition in life? In the days of valves. Does anyone know what a valve is? It's like a little thing that glows, and you know, you could pull one valve out and stick the other one in, and sometimes you know, fix it. And then finally one day, I did fix his TV, and he was like, oh, my son fixed my TV. I'm so proud of him. And we can work so hard in our lives trying to gain the approval of our parents, and so that they're going to say, how good are you? And I remember even in church world, I would come and talk to them about the exciting things that were happening in church life. And he wasn't particularly interested because he thought we were throwing the life down the drain. You know, what a waste of a life. You could be going and making a career. You could make lots of money. And why would you want to waste your life serving, doing all this church stuff? And so, you know, progressively in life, you can be trying to gain your father or mother's approval, your parents' approval, so that they're going to say, oh, you've done a good job. But sadly, that can even translate into a relationship with God. And we're trying to gain God's approval. So God, we've got 100 people in church now. And then God's going to say, yay, good boy. You've got 100 now in church. How good is that? And if I can get 200, then God's going to say, oh man, you are amazing. I just love you so much more than I loved you 2 or 3 years ago. And we can work so desperately hard trying to find God's approval, not just in life, but what we're doing for Him. Somehow getting God to say, I'm now happy with you. That translates into every part of life, that we're thinking we've somehow got to get God on our side and get God happy about us. But we need to come to the place that we are not serving Him for His approval, but from His approval. Because He already has approved of us, because He has already adopted us into His family, because He has given His Son and we are now part of His family, and we have been set apart as his children, we don't do it to get his approval, but we do it from his approval. He says, you are my child. You have been chosen. I have called you by name. And when we go out, he is so proud that we are his kids. So we're not serving him, so God's going to approve of us, but we serve him from a position of his approval. He has approved of us. In fact, this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, speaking about being chosen in Christ, before the world was ever created, before it was ever made, God had you in mind. You were in his heart and in his thoughts. He says, one day I'm going to be making Jason, and Jason's going to be born, and he's going to be standing on the stage doing the most awesome announcements. God chose you, and everything that's in your life is because God put it there. And if there's anything missing, you think is missing from its life, it's because God said you didn't need it. He's made, put in your life absolutely everything you've needed for the life he's called you to. Sometimes we compare ourselves with others. Who knows, the comparison trap's really dangerous. You go, oh, look at me, you know, hey, look at my biceps, you know, I'm going to be in trouble. Look at how much hair I've got. No. I'm in big trouble. Isn't that right, Matthew? Can you do anything to fix me? He's a hairdresser. I don't think he can do anything. He just looks and thinks, man, I've got a bargain today. It's going to take me half the time. Yeah. God knew. He definitely knew that we should be whole and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself. He's planned. You're going to be part of my family. I've called you before the world was even created. I've called you to be a part of my family. He's deliberately chosen for that to be so, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He's made us accepted. We are, say, I am accepted. Don't you hate it when people tell you to say stuff like that? Oh, I'll better say it, you know, because I've got to do it. I look embarrassing if I don't say anything. I am accepted. So the next time you think you've got to try and work for God's approval, that's wrong. You are accepted because of what Jesus Christ has done, and you are his children. You know the story of the prodigal son, don't you? He didn't have to earn his way to come back. He said, oh, maybe I can be like one of the slaves. I'll come back and, hey, maybe I'll earn my way back in your family. And he gave him the ring, gave him the garment. Hey, welcome home. Great to see you. Glad you're back. And so Paul says, don't find confidence in my flesh. I know that God is for me. Here's the next one. God is my helper. Who believes that's true? Who believes God is your helper? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 has this to say. Don't love money. I do, but no. So. Don't love money in the sense of, you know, having that enticement. Be satisfied with what you have, for God says, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. By the way, before I get into the next verse, I'm going to put it up on the screen. I just thought I'd share this quick story. Look, it sounds really lame, but to me it was something, okay? So I got my car serviced, our Kia. We went to the, you know, Kia place, they did the service. They said, well, you know, we knew the tyre pressure was going down. They said, oh, look, the tyre pressure's, you know, it's leaking. I haven't already shared the story, have I? No, just checking. Sometimes I forget. Well, you're going to hear it again. So I said, well, guess what? It's got a leak and it's got a hole, but it's in the worst possible place in the tyre. And, you know, there's Michelin's, you know, probably going to cost like $300 plus, maybe $350 tyres. No way. That's terrible. So anyway, we go across to, I think his name is Dinesh, at the tyre place just across the car park. Just been there and I start chatting. So first time he's ever met me, right? First time ever. I go across and we start chatting about the Sri Lanka New Year celebration. I'm inviting him to our year celebration, which is happening next Sunday, by the way, if you want to come. And so here we are chatting, and he says, Have a look at it. He says, you want me to come back in like 3 hours' time? No. Just roll it in here. Brr, brr, takes a tire off, puts a little bit of a hole in there, does something or other, sticks some thing in there and then cuts it off, a little bit of sort of sticky stuff he puts in there, and he pumps it up. It's looking pretty good. Puts it back onto the tire, onto the car, and he says, good to go. I said, no way. He said, yeah, it's all fixed. If you took it anywhere else, they wouldn't do it for you. But for me, I've done it for you for free. No way. I've got to give you some money. No. You've done a job for me. I've got to pay you. No. Please don't pay me. Thank you very much. Who knows God's a helper? He's a helper. He knows what we need and what's going to get us through our circumstance. And so it says here in Hebrews 13 verse 6, God's not going to abandon us. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. God is my helper. We can say with confidence. We can be confident. The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? By the way, the writer of Hebrews here, he is quoting from Psalm chapter 18, verse 6, where it pretty close to has this verse written there, Psalm 18, verse 6. So what he's saying here is, so we can say with confidence, and then he begins to quote Psalm 18, verse 6, the Lord is my helper, I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? What is that suggesting? I think we need to quote Scripture. We need to say it. So we can say confidence. The Lord is my helper. The time where I think you need to say it the most is where you do have a big battle before you, where the armies are gathered on the hills across and you're ready to face a major confrontation. Yeah, you can do this bit like this, but you can say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I know he is going to get me through this current circumstance that I am facing. The Lord is my helper. I will have no fear. The Lord is my helper. We need to speak those scriptures with our mouths. That Psalm 27, I remember, you know, just having quoted it probably about two decades ago. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You quote those scriptures in circumstances and it gets into your spirit. We've got the conversation in our head. How do you deal with the negative conversation in your head? Start quoting some positive conversation. Get that in your head. The Lord is the strength of my life. Though an army be arrayed against me, in this I will be confident. Begin to declare the word of the Lord. The Lord is the strength of my life. And even this one, this is a good one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens and empowers me. Get the word of God in your spirit. Begin to declare it. Begin to quote it. Begin to speak it out. I will say with confidence, not just, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. No, with confidence. The Lord is my helper. He is the strength of my life. He's the one that will get me through. And here's another scripture here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Who knows he's present? Like a lot of people are absent. They're absent at critical times in life. But God says he is present. He's there when you're going through those challenging seasons of life. He's very present. And he's a refuge. He's the one who's just going to protect you. He's the one who's going to keep you. He's going to be bringing his strength into your life. He's very present. We need to move from confidence in our own ability to having a confidence in God and his ability to get us through whatever circumstance that we are facing. And here's the third one. So just recognize God is there to help you. And here's the third one. God is still working in me. Who knows God hasn't finished yet? He's in a process of changing and transforming our lives, shaping us into the people that he's called us to become, who knows that it's a journey? Yeah? Is that only for me? I know, pardon the expression, I think I can say this in church. I stuff up all the time. I think, oh man, that was pretty dumb, wasn't it? Why did I do that? If I had to said it this way instead of that way, probably most weeks I come home from church and go, oh man, that illustration, it was the wrong illustration, the wrong story. Who knows? You have those stories going through your head. And you have to decide, I'm in the growing business. God is growing me. God is still developing me. God is still working in me. And if we want to have everything perfect and all the conditions just right before we're going to step out and do anything, we're going to be waiting for a very, very, very long time. But step out with what God has already put into your life. Step out with the level of experience that you already have. With this particular positioning in God, this moment in life, this moment in the journey that you're on in God, just begin to step out. I'm not just talking about church-wise, it could be educationally. It could be with business. Great, see Marianne's got a new position, that's pretty cool. When do you start? When you get back just after Easter, and pretty cool, you've got this huge, just major responsibility. You're getting scared now, aren't you? But she's just stepping out, you know, another bold new area of responsibility. But it's just taking the next step and the next step. God hasn't finished yet. He's continuing to work in us and developing us to be the people that he has called us to be. And that's just a very reassuring thing. And so here's a scripture here. It says, being confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, is going to carry it on to completion. You know, we're not there yet, but we know that God is continuing to work in our lives and our future. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so, don't wait until you've got everything perfect, till you've got all your ducks in a row, till you think you know enough, you're skilled enough, you're experienced enough. You'll never be stepping out in the things that God has planned for your life and your future. You will never experience and realize the potential that God has for your life and your future. But as you begin to step out in God confidence, in the confidence, like imagine Gideon, that God that was sitting there in the wine press, fearful for his life and his future, absolutely packing death literally. And somehow he just began to step up and just somehow, with enough grace of God, began to believe that God would do something through him as he stepped out in response to the calling and the anointing of the Spirit of God. He just began to step out in that journey that God had called him to. And wow, look at the incredible outcome both for him, his family, his nation, and all that followed in the years ahead. And for us here today, you may be thinking, well, I'm still early days. Well, you're a great candidate to experience God in all of his fullness, to have a confidence in God for your life and your future. So here's a summary, just this last slide. I am confident. Maybe we can all say this together. I am confident because he is for me, because he is helping me, and because he is not finished with me yet. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
God is for you. God is for you. And when you get this thing coming in your head and you feel the enemy's just speaking voices in your head, oh no, God, oh, he's against you. Oh, I don't know, he just wants to give you a bit of grief. He wants to give you a hard time. Just say, no, God is for me. God doesn't mean you don't go through hard times. Of course we go through hard times, but God is the one who's going to get us through, because God is for me, because he is helping me, and because he is not finished with me yet. May it be that you just step into a new season of experiencing God's confidence in ways that you haven't experienced it before. Maybe you've had these nagging things in your spirit and you think, I want to step out. Maybe this will be the season where you said, I'm actually going to do that. Maybe even as I was sharing earlier, you're just sensing in your heart to invite someone along to Alpha. along to Easter. Maybe just start off with the Easter weekend. And Easter weekend, we're going to be previewing a couple of the videos, and you're going to just, something will spark, and then we're going to have clipboards where people can fill in their details. Maybe just say, why don't you come along to our Easter weekend, to one of the services? That may be the starting point for them, and then on to the life group, and let's just see what God will do. May God just spark something. May there just be a new level of confidence just rising in our hearts for everything that God has positioned and called us to. You know, I look back over the years and I just say, wow, only God could have done what we've just seen God do over the years. And it's the same God who has brought us thus far, is the same God who's going to fulfill everything that he's planned and purposed for the incredible years to come. Amen? Amen. Bless God. Let's pray. Father God, we just so thank you for all, Lord God, that you have already done for us. We thank you that even before the creation of the world and before the creation of the universe, you had us in your thoughts. You had us in mind. And you knew exactly what it is that we would be positioned to do in life. And for our future, you knew exactly what needed to be part of our DNA, part of our makeup, that we would have everything that we need for that which you have called us to do. And Father God, we thank you. We've been called, we've been set apart, we've been adopted, we are a part of your family. We are your sons and daughters. And may it be that, Father God, where people have just had a sense of just fear, anxiety, where there's just been stuff hanging on hearts and minds, just timidity of spirit, just an insecurity in stepping out in the things that are before us in life, we pray that you're just going to fill us with a real sense of confidence in you. Holy Spirit, we pray, bring revelation of that on the inside of our hearts, that we will see like we've never seen before. We pray for fresh revelation. We pray that just every fear will just be broken off hearts and minds. Father God, every sense of just insecurity, Father God, that is carried in the hearts, in our hearts today, we pray just break them off. We ask in Jesus' name. May just declarations be made today about the incredible future that you have planned for the road ahead for each one of us, for our families, for our homes, for our marriages, for our careers, in every aspect of serving you. Father God, we pray, let that become a reality. We ask in Jesus' name. And just whilst we're in prayer, confidence ultimately begins by coming to know Jesus, by knowing him as the one that you have placed in charge of your life, that you're not depending on your own skill and ability to navigate life's journey, but you've entrusted your life into the hands of a supernatural God. You've recognized that Jesus came and died for you to wash you and to free you from the entanglement of sin and all its consequences, and to enable you to live a life that is victorious, experiencing everything that God has intended. And if you're just sensing today that you would like to make a commitment today in following Jesus and experiencing his forgiveness and being made whole today, or if you just feel you want to revisit that commitment today, just acknowledge that. Just lift your hand just up for a moment. I'd like to say a prayer for you before we finish today. Anyone today, just since that's a step you'd like to take, Jesus, I need you for my life and my future. Please come. Make me whole, lead me in the journey you've called me to. Just anyone, just across the congregation today, just lift your hand for a moment so I can see it, just for a moment. Thank you. God bless you. Others today, you're just sensing that's a step you just need to take today. Just quickly, just lift your hand. Thank you. That's awesome. Anyone else today? Just like to acknowledge that before the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. That's awesome. God bless you. Thank you. That's very cool. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those that have raised their hand today. I pray they're going to experience something very, very powerful on the inside of their heart. I pray, first of all, they would experience your forgiveness being made whole. Come and wash them, we pray. Lord God, because of your precious blood, as they look to you in faith, we pray your cleansing would just wash through their heart and their life, that they would be cleansed of an evil conscience, of a guilty conscience, so they would be free to serve you. And we pray, Father God, that you are going to speak to them. The Holy Spirit, you would bring revelation of yourself. We pray that you're going to lead them and guide them as they navigate all that is before them in the season ahead. May they find and discover their confidence in you in ways that they've not known it before. May it not be so they can gain your approval, but it is because you have approved of them, because they are your child, because they have come to know you. Cover them, lead them, guide them into the incredible future you have planned for their life. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. And.